Bone, I've got three words for you.
What's that?
Jackson Powers
Johnson
was here today.
Johnson. You know, I got two words for you. You ready?
You do.
Hump day.
Oh, yeah. Man. He's there got that go. Out of the way early.
I did get it out of the way early, man. We are here. We are live, man. Did you miss me, DK? I got to ask you that. How did you miss me?
Honestly, I feel like it was 3 minutes ago since the last time I saw you. That's how busy I've been.
That's crazy.
It is. We got baseball over the team with the best record in the National League overlapping crazy. With the Penguins in a playoff push, overlapping with the NFL draft, and it's like I'm flying around all over the place.
We're like, you know what though? We're close. We're close, and all the foolishness is out of the way. Those three words you had right there, but there's an action that has to be done before we get to discussing those three words you just said.
Mm-hmm. There mm-hmm. you go. You know, the NFL draft is coming up this month, as I just mentioned. And with Jackson Powers Johnson coming in for a visit, and, you know, these visits can get hyped up excessively or overblown. And I appreciate that because the interest in the event is so huge, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's the first center to do so.
He is.
And for the most part, the guys they've been talking to, the pattern that's been built has been with offensive tackles. I really need to get your thoughts on this, Moan, because independent of who the tackles are, and I know how much you love Amarius Mims out of Georgia and a couple of the other guys, but especially Mims, when you're talking about the Steelers' offensive line, how many moving parts do you really want to have going into a season? And what's wrong with Dan Moore Jr.?
Yeah, you don't want a lot, but here's the other thing too. They've said this last year, and I think it's this year too. Trying to create an environment of competition, also, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you really want, and you also want to be able to stack and stagger your team, your contracts, the talent, right, and the abundance of it that you somewhat choose to have. Amarius Mims coming in town, along with other guys that they've been flirting with. One of the 30 visits that they had is projecting DK. It's also just setting yourself up for the future because, again, you mentioned Dan Moore a second ago, and that's not even our main topic of today. But the idea that this is a make-or-break year for him is huge. This is a third year of his career, DK. He's going into year four. Mm-hmm. He's 3 or 4 right now.
He hasn't played much, but yeah.
Either way, as it pertains to Dan Moore, the checks come due at some point, and they're going to have to decide if they want to keep him or set him free in free agency. That always plays a part in these decisions that have to happen for teams that is trying to get back to a level of dominance. Also, what Arthur Smith wants as an offensive line. You look at the good line he had here in Nashville. Taylor Lewan, an athletic left tackle, had a big bruise on the right side, and Jack Conklin for the years he's had here are guys that fill in that position, right? And then you have a center that's an anchor type. I know that's where you want to go as far as the Jackson Powers Johnson conversation. But as it pertains to the tackles, I think it's a strong consideration depending on how the early draft happens. Meaning, if we get 4 straight quarterbacks, you've pushed back Joe Alt's team, you've pushed back Olu Fashanu, you've pushed back so many different guys, Tali Fuaga, JC Latham, those guys get pushed back. And if you have the ability to get one of those quality dudes, meaning, let's say a team wants a wide receiver before you, there's more tackles. Like, it changes the entire draft if 4 quarterbacks go early. And that's why if you have one of those premier tackles or center, why not do your due diligence on those dudes, DK? I think some of our fan base wouldn't be upset with the idea that you can get a tackle in the first and a center in the second. Or you take that center at 20 because, DK, before we go further into this offensive line conversation, when this team is good, when this team wins Super Bowls, there's one constant.
Yes, there is.
It's the center.
Yep. Every single time. And they've been without one for a little bit too long now. I don't mean that. That sounds mean to Mason Cole. I shouldn't say that. He had a rough year.
There's a level, though, DK.
He had a good year, his first year. I don't know that Mason was going to add on to that. Okay. That might have been his, you know, his peak performance there. I think the world of the guy. So I definitely don't feel like, you know, they right. didn't have a center. Yeah.
Speculation, he can make himself back in that. To what you said, DK, mm-hmm. that role maybe of a backup, especially if you go first-round center.
And a multiple position backup, too, since he's yes. played guard in the NFL as well. Mm-hmm. He did some of that in Minnesota. I look at this draft, Moan, and here's what I do, okay? I say, all right, obviously they need a center. Obviously you'd love to have a defensive lineman. Obviously you'd love to have an inside linebacker. The part that I can't get past is the Steelers take to the field for the opening game.
Yeah.
And they go out there and you look around. There's Russell Wilson's at quarterback, and you got yourself an offensive line, and you got yourself Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren and Pat Freiermuth, whatever. And I look out at the wide receivers and I go, there's George Pickens. And I can't do that. I can't take that offense seriously.
Yeah.
And I also can't just conveniently ignore that, yeah, the draft is great for tackles. The draft is it has some centers. The draft is great for corners, for whatever that's worth yeah. to somebody else. Okay. But it's always great at the wide receiver position. Always. Always.
Yeah. And okay. you know what? Go ahead.
Marvin Harrison Jr. is right up there. Marvin Harrison's kid. It's sitting there waiting for you. And there's even talk now that he might not be the best receiver in the class. So you're talking about a group that's 17 deep.
Yeah.
17 deep. You're going to watch that go by.
I'm going to be real, DK. It is that deep. Malik Nabers is a guy.
That's the one.
Some are saying they like Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr.
I can't even fathom that. But okay,
the tape says what you want out of a guy, right? His ability. I looked at Malik Nabers. His ability to play in a slot and go outside is huge. He can play down the field. He can play across the middle. He got that one trick where he can beat coverage. DK. He's got good hands. He's explosive out of his catch. There's a lot that comes with him also. And then you got Roma Dunze, who's very solid also, and not just him. Brian Thomas Jr. So I feel like you're saying all that to say this too. That if you choose to go high with a wide receiver, there is a plethora of talent there. It really does boil down, though, DK, to what this team is trying to establish first. Do you need to get back to a run style, right, with the big boys up front? As much as I might like Dan Moore, they may not in that building. Who's to say that?
That's relevant. I really believe that. I think that sometimes in sports and really in any walk of life or business, another set of eyes can come in and make you see something that you've been looking at for a long time a different way. And Arthur Smith comes in and says, hey, you guys got a minute? This 65, can we have a talk about him? Okay? And maybe Smith sees stuff that would not work with what he wants to do. Or maybe Smith takes away the word I'm looking for here, the personal touch.
The black and gold colored sunglasses. That's
it. Just looks yeah. at it ice cold.
A clear lens is what you're saying.
And says, I can't do this. Okay. I mean, if I got to, I got to. Okay. Broderick Jones needs to be at left tackle. We need to get a right tackle. That's my input on this. I'm Arthur Smith. Have a nice day. You know?
He got that say-so. He does. DK, you say that, and it's two players that come to mind today, man. I didn't – well, one was elevated. Okay, we're going to talk about him in a second, but another was just like, all right, I see this. One of my main draft crush, you know where I'm ahead, on the D-line, Tavondre Sweat, right? Just recently got the DWI.
Yep, he did in Texas.
I had Daniel Jeremiah, who's one of those draft experts on our show today, and I asked him about him. He was like, there's something I like. There's some stuff that I say – I need to take away. He said the same thing. Let me take those googly goggles off, okay? Let me take those off. He said this about him. He's not a three-down guy. He's a two-down guy. He's like, when you come into the league and you have a weight issue, like, it's been times where I've seen players or teams get burned because of the weight issue because it never goes away, even though I've convinced myself he'll become a pro and it won't be an issue. It's like, some do, but the majority don't. And I was like, dang. He's like, and then you throw in the DWI situation, whether it's all true or partially, whatever you want to call it. He's like, there's still things I can knock him on to where I say it needs to be specific, and I'm not sure how long he's going to last on the teams that I employ. And I was like, well, dang. And then the other guy that we've been talking about earlier, we hadn't even got to Jackson Powers Johnson yet, right? Okay. But the guy that you brought up earlier, Amarius Mims, I was like, man, convince me or don't convince me what I've seen on Amarius Mims. And he said this about him. He said, when I view a guy like him that's got somewhat limited tape, but I know he's been really good when he started. He's been one of those types of guys, but of course he had the tightrope surgery and then he got injured at the combine. He's like, I get it. He's like, but I have to evaluate his tape and say to my guys in the room, when it boils down to how I view Amarius Mims, if I take him out of this year's draft and I place him in the 25 draft, he's a top five pick. And I was like, dang.
But availability kind of matters. He's played 8 games.
He said, but when you look at his tape, those 8 games, he's got a polished pass rush.
How was he in the games that he didn't play?
But he said this, though, DK, if you have the opportunity to hit on the talent in that mid-round, first-round caliber, he's your dude. Because you know, if it stays the course, he's in. It's like it wasn't as if he didn't play because all injuries. He was also behind 2 other first-round tackles coming out of Georgia, too. He got in the rotation, played a part in the national championship, and was hurt and came back this year, right, as they went back-to-back, came back this year after being injured and just couldn't make it through the game because he came back too soon. He has a level of grit about him, and he has every intangible you want as a premier right or left tackle. I was like,
I'm not going to lie. I watched some of his tape last night.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see what you were all okay.
Googly eyes about.
Yeah. And I see it. I mean, I see it. He's overwhelming. He's got stuff you can't coach. Okay, it's not just the size, it's the movement with the size. There's one play where he ran to the right to support his running back.
Yeah.
He almost got there before the running back did. You know? So, I mean, his turn, his cut, everything was so sharp. It you almost had to double take at which guy you were watching. Wait a second, that was the right tackle that did that? That's pretty cool.
We ain't trying to convince him, right, DK, at mm-hmm. all. It's just what the tape is saying on him. And here's the scenario as I paint it for you real quick. You can move Broderick to left and place him as right. Right tackle sometimes for new guys in the league can be a growth position. We'll put him at right, let him get experience. Or you put him behind Dan Moore or Broderick and say, that's our future because Dan's a free agent next year.
Guys, when we come back, we're going to get to the only segment that matters, taking your questions on the draft, on the free agency, whatever's left of free agency, and whatever it is that's got you excited about football right now, that's us. When we come back.
I got a sleeper center, too. I got to take back. Oh, and I ran into somebody today. You want to hear this.
Oh, boy. See, he never lets you just go into the commercial without, like, a hook. He's good like that.
Yeah, every once in a while. Come on back, people.
The only segment that matters.
Oh, hey, Mom.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Good stuff from everybody here already. Steven comes in with a $10 contribution. Thanks for that, Steve. He says, how long, Moan, does it take for a quarterback to learn a new offense? My concern is that none of our quarterbacks are guaranteed to be on the roster the following year. So unless we draft one, next year's quarterback might have to learn it. That's a lot of learning you got there lined up, Steven.
How long does it take? It depends on how the quarterback compute and how much you want to load onto his play. Here's the thing. The playbook is this big, but the portion of it that you get is about that small. You build off of the small stuff and grow from there. Routes, they will know that. Protections, they will know that. Drops, they will know that. all the things of the operation of the offense. They will know and get, because these two dudes that you got at quarterback, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, are savvy guys as it pertains to them. It's a matter of giving them the base and stacking on top of that. And you're right, they're not guaranteed to be on this roster, but they're also is very set up for you to be able to sign Justin Fields back next year and see something out of him too. So there are options there for you. But I'll tell you this. Who is it, Justin, with that question, right? Steven? I'll tell you this, Steven. That's something that Omar Khan going to have to worry about, and I hope it's a good problem that he has at the end of the year, to sign back Russell Wilson or not. Because, again, as it pertains to his level of play, it has to be above.
That's both. What you want. Yeah, that's what you want. You want that problem. That's
you
a
want
good
that
one.
Problem. Give me that problem every year, DK.
Darren Watt's got a good one for you. A little bit of technical football stuff here. Hey, Moan, what are your thoughts on offensive linemen who finish plays on the ground? Van Pran, one of the centers that we've been talking about.
A bit of a leaner, yeah.
Seems to be on the ground a lot. JPJ and Frazier, Zach Frazier from West Virginia, are always on their feet. Are you still high on Charles Turner? Sounds like an unrelated question.
Please keep this message up because I'm going to go through it, yes, okay? As it pertains to offensive linemen on the ground, that can happen. You can get tripped. You can try to finish too much and end on the ground. That ain't necessarily a bad thing. When it's bad, it's when you whiff on blocks and on the ground, okay? That's when it's bad. If I'm finishing the block and you spin on me and I just so happen to fall on the ground, all right.
Big deal. Result is the result.
That's doing business. Guess who's not making the tackle? The guy that's spinning off on you, okay? Mm-hmm. Van Pran, I'll say that with two of them, Van Pran and Zach Frazier both are on the ground a good bit.
Okay.
You look at even my breakdown and even NFL and NFL draft buzz, whoever you want to go to him. He is a bit of a waistbender too, and this is for this specific reason for Zach Frazier. And I get to Van Pran too. Van Pran is a wrestler. He always is trying to finish and wrestle. If I had
literally.
Okay.
I thought that's what you meant. Yeah.
He is trying to hit people all the time. In return, maybe worse than being on the ground, because that's holding. He has to eliminate that out of his game somewhat and just learn to finish straight ahead instead of trying to put people on his hip. He's legitimately out there in the clips that I've seen and the tape I've seen, putting guys on his hip, and he's turning them like you're suplexing somebody or like you're hip dropping somebody in wrestling.
That doesn't sound all that legal.
Like WWE almost, because he's aggressive. As it pertains to Van Pran, both of them are essentially the same to me. I think working on core, they're better laterally, side to side, than they are straight ahead. Like, and I'll even say this about both those two guys, Van Pran out of Georgia and Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. They don't necessarily move the line of scrimmage the way I like to. Both of them are this, though. They are really good in combination blocks. They are. They know how to engage and get to the second level. They know how to work side to side really good. I somewhat question the arms of Zach just a little bit, but when he locks on, he locks on. As it pertains to Van Pran, same thing with him. Good in combination blocks, get into the second level. He's a little bit of a leaner, but here's another pro tip. Most offensive linemen are. It's a train. It's a retrain. It's a, man, I'm leaning again. That was me in meetings. In my notebook, Moan, don't lean today in practice. Like, you got to preach those things to yourself to be better at the game. But that's the thing about them. They're rookies and will potentially get better over time.
Billy Kurtz asks, hey, Moan, if the Steelers draft Amarius Mims, does he sit behind Dan Moore because of his inexperience? One of the things that would have to come into play here is that Dan and his role in this event would have to be carved out. Now, the precedent that we've seen from this head coach who does make these calls has been he'll let Dan fight for the job. He let Dan go at it with Broderick Jones, and guess what? He won. Okay. Broderick still made it onto the field. It was at Chukwuma Okorafor's expense, but he won. Now what you're looking at is a situation where Dan might have to become a swing tackle. And in fact, I'd be kind of surprised if Dan wasn't working on that sort of thing right this very second, because he's got to see where all of this is headed, whether it's Pittsburgh or somewhere else. Versatility is only going to help him.
It is. That's the only way of operating moving forward for a dude like him, man. And protection comes, I'm talking about, first this year. It does. Russ, again, you want him in the pocket more than anything, man. But just the the dogs that you're looking for, right? The goons that they've been looking for. Now is the time to go get those types of dudes, man. We'll see as far as Dan's concerned. I'm with you. He should be walking up and down the field right now, practicing putting his hand down on the right side. You either get with it or you get on again. Y'all know one of my sayings that I like. Oatmeal is better than no meal as far as whether you're on the field or not. If Dan wants to play and they're talking about moving Broderick, and Broderick is the new shiny toy as a first rounder, he better go get some oatmeal on the right side instead of not eating at all.
Also worth weighing here, and this is a terrific question from Mark Cunningham, because I think this is going to mean something. He says, hey, Moan, how many of these potential offensive line rookies, including the centers, are considered plug and play the way Marquise Pouncey was?
I think Jackson Powers Johnson is. I think Joe Alt is. I think Olufashinu is. I'm hesitant on Jason Latham.
And Mims.
I think there's growth. But I'll say this. I'll give it to Latham. I think Latham can. It's a matter of putting him at right tackle. And Tali Fuaga as a right tackle also. I think you're good on him. Those are plug and plays. Now, some teams will force you to plug and play too. Like looking at a guy like Tyler Guyton, depending on where he goes, he may play early. Now, Mark, that's the other thing. What does plug and play look like? Is it Marquise or is it?
Don't do that to anybody.
You know what I'm saying? Like last time we thought plug and play was Green, Kevin Green, right? Kendrick Green. Think about that though. Like I know we want instant gratification.
We didn't think that. The head coach did. Just being clear here. Nobody else thought that.
Shouldn't have given him the number. He shouldn't have accepted the number, but I get it. He shouldn't have had 53.
Oh, man. The abuse that I took for even bringing that subject up at the time. And people got on me like crazy. You're trying for a clickbait, hot takes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Can't do that. Slap says, as much as the Steelers like flexibility, I think they go Barton in the first. Possibly move up in the second to get a right tackle.
You know what's fascinating about Graham Barton out of Duke? Everyone sees him as a guard. I do too. He's a guard.
You don't mention that to me.
I don't know if his footwork is good enough for NFL tackle. I hope I'm wrong for his sake if he wants to play tackle, but I think he will be a mauler. I'm talking about a mauler of a guard if he moves inside. I feel the same way about him as I do the guard out of Michigan. I'm pulling up his name right here, Zach Zenter and Trevor Keegan. Trevor Keegan more than anything. Like, I like Keegan, man. I really do. But good guard, straight ahead guys. I think that's a very unique situation for our Barton there, for sure.
Yeah, Brian comes in with a contribution and says, we should take an offensive tackle in the first, a wide receiver in the second or third, depending on how they feel about center. But you just can't ignore center past the third. You can't ignore it, Moan.
Yeah, at all.
I'm looking at free agency. You know who's out there in free agency? Mason Cole.
Yeah.
And they told Mason to go away early
to go find a home.
That's respectful. Yeah. That, by the way, that's not a shot at him. Yeah. That's them saying, we want to give you the best possibility, you know, to hook up with somebody else. The longer you're out there, the better the possibility.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's go with the center position, right? Picking one in the first. Now, if you did go wide receiver, then tackle, then center, there's a guy that I like out of Penn State, man, Hunter Norzad. Also, looking at his tape, I actually looked at it yesterday, D. Solid individual, man, stout up the middle. Again, not highly praised, but I think very coachable, very moldable in what you ask a guy like him to do, man. I thought he was good in space, played big-time ball at Penn State, had good hands, but, of course, you mentioned some weaknesses of his. It's been the same as almost anybody, man. A little bit of a leaner at times. Got to get a little bit quicker feet. But can he move in space? Yes. Is he good at the point of attack? Yes, he is. And a consistency in his snaps also is what I saw on his tape. I like Hunter Norzad out of Penn State too as a third, fourth rounder.
You know what's funny? Can I point out a pattern that's very clearly developed over the course of this program and just this program, but it's probably wider than that? Every single pick that everybody makes in a mock or a hope or whatever is on offense. Notice that?
You need help.
I understand that. but there's only so many years you can go without investing high-end picks in your defense, no matter how much you believe in who you have over there. And I get there's a circumstance here that might be very different if defensive line was available, okay? But it's not. You know, this just isn't that class.
That's what I was just going to say. I don't know if this class is that class for D linemen. You know how I know it's not that class for D linemen, DK? Not a single friggin', I'm going to say friggin', okay? Not a single friggin' D tackle, high D end from Ohio State.
Yeah, the factory.
The factory of D line. I think next year is definitely good for Ohio State and D tackles. But this year, not a single one. I think one of the higher rated D tackles is coming out of is coming out of Michigan this year. Like, there's no real strong one. Illinois got a really good one, and also Texas. Texas, I think, has the highest rated defensive lineman coming out, man. So Ahohoro is another one out of Duke, too, if I'm not mistaken, man. It's supposed to be pretty – no, Clemson. It's supposed to be pretty solid. But it's nobody. I think you got a lot of respectfully, DK, and to him, Deano Benton types.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
That can grow.
Yeah. And speaking of that, and guys moving up here, Cedric Van Pran is out of Georgia, which is everybody's factory for everything these days. And – he's moving up the draft board. It says Slap. He's being pushed up toward the third round. I mean, I've seen him higher than that.
I have too.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on him? Is he a viable third option at center?
Yes, he is. Refining is what it is. Again,
what
refining.
Do you mean?
Just a technique. It's got to be something of his. I think a little bit of strength. Also, DK. He's not a huge puncher with his hand. He's a little bit of a lay him on him and grab you type. But again, he's that type of athlete that can get away with that.
I love your descriptions on this stuff. Yeah, what was that again? A lay him on you and grab him type.
Lay hands on him. Laying hands on somebody, DK. So pounce was more like, all right, I'm going to describe. Pounce was here, okay, punching you quick. Me, myself, I was a grabber. I'm going to grab you here. Dave was a pat, then grab you type of guy. Dave wasn't a fierce puncher either of his hands. One of the hardest punches I've ever seen or had happened to me is Marquise. But he had to because of his size also. Pounce punched people to get space and get them off of. Like, Pounce may have been playing most days, if I can be honest, 290. So he had to make strength and initiating the fight a part of his game.
You were more, I'll use this term, you in your playing days were more of an engulfer. You would bring that person in, and look, I don't care how clever you are or how athletic you are or whatever. It doesn't mean crap if you're stuck against number 73 here.
DK.
You're not shedding me.
Okay. Hey. I'm gonna make this right here, okay? I'm gonna turn the other way. Hey, walk into the phone booth. That's all I needed right there. Just walk into the phone booth. I invited him. Come on. You can bull rush me. I dare you. Hey, welcome to my phone booth, man. You know who told me to maximize that? Munch.
Is that right?
Why would you give them space, Mo? Give them a two-way go to work down the middle, and I dare you. I dare them to run through you. That's what he was like. Like, what? Bring them to the phone booth, DK.
I think that actually worked against you from a notoriety standpoint because it wasn't sexy.
It wasn't sexy. I know, but it got the job done.
It got the job done. And the job is singular.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, come on in. We got some guests here for you here.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Now you're stuck. Oh, he has. Come on in here. We're going to. Doesn't matter. He's going to talk to Ramon Foster anyway.
Hey, what's going on?
Introduce yourself.
Hey, what's going on? I'm all right. How you doing?
Good, man. I'm just shaking in my boots right now.
What? You can't get camera shot now because I know you sit at home watching games, saying yelling at the TV, and you in the stadium twirling your towel and yelling at the field. You can't get shaky now. Don't do that.
You mind if I give a shout out to some people in the chat that I haven't been in the chat for a minute? Shout out to Barber. Fishing for Trout and Darren Watt. My name's Luke, by the way. Sorry.
What's up, Luke? There we go. Look at Darren Watt sitting there right now, man. Where's Barbara at, man? Hey, absolutely. What's going on? Let's talk.
Oh, Not much. What do you think is going to happen in the draft? Do you think we're going to take like a wideout with the first pick, or is that just far-fetched and crazy?
It's great that he doesn't think we brought this up already.
I'm sorry. No, you're walking around the city.
Yeah. Hey, I think because of the run on quarterbacks, there will probably be talent there that you don't think is going to be there. I also think it could be some people that jump in front of you. As it stands right now, Buffalo really got no playmaker at 23 or 26 that they're picking from.
Yeah.
Seeing them move up and playing that game with them, who they decide to take. You can honestly go O-line, wide receiver.
Okay.
I don't think there's a D tackle or D end high enough this year's draft with the guys that you have with Herbig, with Alex, with TJ that makes you want to go get an outside edge guy. What I see this year is wide receiver. I see O-line. Specifically, if you stay at 20, me personally, the fact that this team, and I was a part of it, watching them take the number 16 overall player at center at 16, if they believe Jackson Powers Johnson, who was in town today, is that good, then you go get him. Because as we talked about earlier, Super Bowl teams that the Steelers have had an anchor at center. It's missing.
Okay, fair. I mean, great points.
Whether we like it or not, and being real with you, I don't think the guys that will be available at 20 will be a bad pick, though. Like, the dudes that I can name to you, Mims, Jackson Powers, Johnson, if you get a wide receiver or a cornerback, Quinyon Mitchell or whoever, right, at 20, are you actually mad? Not really. It's just, all right, well, we're planning something.
Well, awesome. I appreciate that, man.
No doubt. Absolutely, man. You ain't that nervous, man. Be cool.
I got scorched at the Pirates game yesterday, too. I sat in the sun for about a minute, and I'm the most fair-skinned guy that I know. So it was brutal.
Like, don't bring that up. I was like,
dude. Luke the Lobster.
All good, man. Hey, you keep crushing it, man. Enjoy your walk around the burg, too.
Will do. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Luke killed it. Somebody put here. Luke, don't pee down your leg, man.
He was saying he was nervous, man. He was good. But I told him he can't get on this broadcast and get nervous when I know he's yelling at the TV and screaming in stadiums. Come on with it.
He can't have it both ways.
Can't have it both ways, Dan. Absolutely. I
love it. We're going to take a couple more
Before we go further.
Yeah.
Before we go further. So one of my surprises was talking about the center from Penn State. I do like him a good bit. Out of Penn, NORAD, I think is what I said his name was. But also, you'll be delighted whenever I tell you this next thing, DK.
Go ahead.
You ready for it?
Uh-huh.
Ran into Mason today.
Oh, really? What are the odds of that?
I did. Well, I made it the odds because we talked last night. He was like, when you coming by? I was like, I'll be by tomorrow, man. They had a press conference today. He's enjoying himself, man. We talked about some very specific stuff and, you know, how he felt and stuff like that, man. I think it was good. You remember you said that, like, maybe he got to do something outside the city?
Yeah.
I think he needed it. Their offensive coordinator spoke today. Halls is his last name, man. And he said, the Titans. He had some high praise about Mason, man. You know what he said? He's like, we evaluated it. And looking at his tape, his command at the line of scrimmage, how he checked and how he audible and his decisiveness in his play. He's like, we think his best ball is ahead of him. And I said, wait, you have a quarterback. You shouldn't say you think Mason's best ball is ahead of him.
Right.
But they think highly of the kid, man. And we rapped for a while, man. So Mason, whether some liked him or not, the dude know what he's doing. And he's got a huge chip on his shoulder, DK.
Yes, he does.
I'll leave it at that.
Yes, he does.
He's got a huge chip on his shoulder.
We've had that conversation. Yes, he does. But he also understands that he's got an opportunity in Nashville. Will Levis does have potential, but potential isn't going to get you a starting consistent job in the NFL. Mason's got a real opportunity there. And I'm so stunned to hear any coach anywhere say something good about him. It's and you know what I'm thinking here, right?
Oh,
the hot hand.
Yeah. He, I might try to pull that for you just so you can hear him talk about Mason. I was just like, what the F? And not in those words, DK. I was just like, dang, happy for Mason. I'm with Mr. CJ Jr. Like, they know they got something to him and for a very decent price.
Yeah, I think so too. I think what you're going to see over time here is that, here we go on this subject again, but
quarterbacks, man,
they really didn't handle this very well. The Steelers didn't. Anthony Stewart says, I hate the raw deal that Mason got from the Steelers. And even you fans, not all fans, most of you fans, he says, didn't even come around to Mason until the last 4 weeks of the season. That's right. Anthony was the only one who wanted Mason all along.
No, there's somebody by the initials DK that wanted him too. All right.
This is a very good football player and a very good kid. And, you know, whether or not he's going to end up becoming a superstar in the league or whatever, you know, he wants to play football. That's what he wants to do. He's pretty simple guy.
And what it sound like, he got people that believe in him too. Yeah, Mr. CJ, he's moved out of my house. He actually told me where he's moving to. He's solid, man. It was good seeing him laying eyes on him, and he was just a part of building. You don't want to hear another cool story? His quarterback coach was my teammate in college.
Whoa.
Bo Hardigree, who was the interim OC and quarterback coach and offensive coordinator with the Vegas Raiders, was my teammate in college. He was a quarterback at the University of Tennessee. Also, one of the analysts on this team is also one of my former teammates at UT, Luke Stocker. He's a former tight end, played for Tampa for a while. Pretty cool, man, seeing
him. Yeah, let's not pretend to be surprised, too, that the football world is pretty tight. Which is funny considering
I'm running this.
Yeah, it's you run into people in certain settings. In your case, I'm sure Mobile, Alabama is one. You've been down there for a couple of years, and you're just walking around the field and you go, "Hey." You know?
Yeah, yes, man. Legitimately being in the sport, you don't realize it. But I didn't realize how many folks I knew. I saw that today being in their building, crazy.
Now this is a lot of people here expressing kind wishes for Mason Rudolph. I think you're going to see a fair number of Pittsburghers paying a little bit of extra attention to the Titans, especially if he can, you know, find a way to get himself into that picture. I don't see. Let's put it this way: I don't see Mason starting the season as their quarterback. I think that would involve something, either an injury or a massive setback of some kind for Levis. But I do think Mason's got a better chance of starting where he is.
Yeah.
Than Kenny Pickett does where he is, which might be in 2000 and never.
Yeah.
Hey, Jalen Hurts is going to be the quarterback in Philly for a long, long time, and deservedly so. What are you laughing about over
there? Because I'm laughing at the actual moves, though, too, because he wants out or was frustrated, right, as far as Pickett goes, and he sends him to a career backup spot. Omar don't play around, man.
No, man. You also could have sent them to Carolina or Chicago. You look at Omar's trade destinations. He's probably got a little guide.
He does.
That he pulls out of the back of his wallet that says, where am I sending this guy? Let's see. Do I really hate him? Okay, Chicago.
He's got a hit list. Asked to be traded, bad attitude, not really productive. Flip the cart, that says Chicago.
Yes, Chicago's on the back of the cart.
I didn't plan on doing this with you, DK. That is good, man.
Yeah, I like that.
That is good. He's got a flip card on disgruntled players.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
Sorry. Guys, when we come back,
we're going to talk
a little bit about the change of schedule here for the show so that we're leveling here with everybody like we always do.
Yeah.
He give him a chance to catch his breath over finding Chicago on the back of the card.
The flip card is hilarious. You brought that up. That's good.
It's just like a picture of Mike Ditka or something. Nowhere to send him. Wow. Okay. That's good stuff. Yeah. So a few of you have remarked about the show And so we're just here, you know, Moan can get us started here. You know, it's this was probably a little while in coming here, but we're going to be doing this show once a week in the off season. Yes. Okay. When the football gets serious, so do we.
Yes. And we'll also do the draft, cover the draft, have reaction to it.
Right. Right.
Those types of things will happen. When there's big news, we will be here for you. DK and I will tweet it out. And when it's eventful days, we will tweet all that. So draft coverage, we will be here for that. We'll talk about that. Our thing was this, and DK and I probably had the same thought and didn't talk about it. We don't want to give you guys empty content.
That's it.
At all. We can pull topics from wherever y'all want to. We can sit here and whistle to one another, and we don't want this to be that. It's got to be good. So as it pertains to the y'all season right now, I think it's better for us to give you quality over quantity. And I, Julio Garcia, I'm with you. You're part of – I'm with you, okay? I told you guys it's therapy for me to be able to talk and have these conversations with you guys. But as much draft stuff is going on and free agency moves and stuff like that, it's too much to me give you a very specific answer, and DK also, on people that we don't know or think the Steelers are going to draft also. That's the other thing. You know what I'm saying? Jared put it up here. Twitter is empty content. Yeah. And we don't want to give you season of lies. Like when they get close and they start making picks and reactions and OTAs, they get a little bit more serious for us. But we don't want to give empty air.
Now, what I liked was that whenever we were talking about this, Moan, you were the one that jumped in and said, but the draft, we're there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to be here for the draft. We're going to make sure that we're really nailing this. And we'll see how it goes over the summer. There's OTAs, there's mini camp, there's training camp, there's all kinds of time, and there's going to be real things to discuss. You know, right now I could see us doing one out of every four shows on, like, what's your favorite logo? Bears.
No doubt, man. But it also makes this a whole lot better as far as what the content we're gonna, like, we had a lot to talk about today.
You know what's funny? And this is, people misuse the term ironic a lot. This is the real definition of ironic. And that is that whenever football is out of season, I'm actually so busy with the other stuff that I'm not even in the football mode. Yeah. Okay. And Ramon and his kids have other activities and stuff. Yeah. But when football comes along, you're so in on football that the show becomes easy. It's academic.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. It does, man. Just like this, I'm eager to answer stuff too, because I got this answer today, DK. Real quick from John. I guess John and Jacob are having a conversation. He goes, Jacob, I never thought Mason was that good because I thought he was only a third stringer. Boy, was I wrong about their evaluation. He actually said something about that today when I saw him. He said, he didn't say I'm lucky to have this. He was just like, I had to play my role because I was one of the last guys signed. They had a first round draft pick. I had to play my role as the number three. It's like, I wanted to play and knew I could play and was good, but I can't go in there. What we say about the backup quarterbacks, DK, how much you need to hear from them? None. So as a backup quarterback, and especially as a number three, as John just, you know, brought that up about the evaluation of Mason, you say nothing. You prepare and you support. So he played his role is what he did.
You can't argue with that at all. Rochelle wants to know, is there a specific day? The day that we're going to target is Wednesday. That won't be possible next week. So we're going to go for Thursday instead. Wednesday, you guys want to know what my day is Wednesday?
Tell us,
Mom says. I already told you. Yeah. I'm going to be in New York. In the afternoon, I'm doing Pirates versus Mets. And then I'm getting on the Long Island Expressway and covering Penguins versus Islanders that night in a game that might decide the Penguins season. So, like, all right, let's do the Ramon show right in the middle. It's just, you know, sometimes it just doesn't line up. But I will be home Thursday, and we'll pull it off Thursday. So we'll communicate with everybody. We'll let you know. We'll let you know what the extra shows will be. For the draft, all of that will be, if you're not a member of our YouTube community or whatever, we'll put it in a lot of different places.
Yeah, for sure. We will. Follow me at The Ramon Foster. There's two accounts on there, but the one that I'm active on is at The Ramon Foster on Twitter. If y'all can, hit me with a follow. My other one, I didn't do the two-factor authentication and got locked out of it.
He's just, where is it? Here it comes. You and your sad Twitter account stories. I can't open my. Here it is. Oh,
that's branding for us, DK. I mean, that's 80,000. I think it's up to. It's gaining more followers now, and I'm not even on it.
You guys used to be a whole lot better.
You used to be a whole lot better than this, DK.
No, it never was. It was all an act.
Oh, me, oh, my. Hey, Jay. Yes, man. Oh, wow. Jake's trying to get an AI Ramon Foster show. Please don't do that.
I saw that. I see miniature violins coming into the comments. All right, guys. So, again, next show will be next Thursday. We will be how far out from the draft at that point?
Well, next Thursday puts us at a week away.
Yeah. So guess what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, man. Draft stuff. Like real draft stuff. Hopefully,
heavy duty draft stuff. You're going to get closer to the event. You're going to see other moves being made by the Steelers and other teams that might solidify the whole picture. And that's when it starts getting fun.
Yeah, man. And of course, this too. Darren, yeah. We got to do that. We will be back to daily, but it's in season, though, or camp. But again, y'all know how we go on the last show of the week, man. Hey, call somebody that you hadn't talked to in a while. Apologize to somebody. Buy somebody a random drink. Be good to each other. This is an election year, y'all. Be good to one another. All right, man.
Try,
okay? Tell somebody you love them. Man, just talk to somebody that's outside of your demographic. You never know what you're going to learn. Buy somebody a brew or a meal. But at all costs, man, make it back to us next week.
Good stuff, everybody. All right, we'll do it again next. We'll do it again next Thursday. And then a big draft week for us here on the Ramon Foster Show.
Huge. Absolutely. Peace, good people. Man, I missed y'all, man. Let's do it again.